In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, Creator, come from thy bright heavenly throne. Come, take possession of our souls, and make them all thine own. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who hast taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the gift of the same Spirit we may be always truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you again, which is marvelous. This is my second time here with the Servant Sisters, which I guess meant that I didn't mess up too much on my first time, so... And I know that some of you are here with me now for a second time, so I'll try not to tell too many of the same stories, I promise. But I am kind of like, you know, Grandpa, you know, that always has just the same story over and over. So Grandpa Gerber, I promise I won't tell the same story. You've chosen quite a wonderful weekend, if I may say so, to make a mother-daughter retreat. So tonight we have Our Lady of Fatima. Tomorrow you have St. Matthias, who was the apostle who was chosen to replace Judas. He was chosen in the upper room as well. And then on Sunday we have Pentecost. So you have our Blessed Mother, you have apostles, and you have the Holy Spirit all packed up into one weekend. So that's quite a weekend. So that being said, again, just take a deep breath if you're kind of arriving a little late, no worries. And don't worry, I didn't see you coming in late at Mass either, because I'm pretty much blind, so I didn't see past the first row, so you are fine. And as well, I know some of you kind of had some tough travels here. So it sounds like old Woodworm, or was it Wormwood? Yeah, that's his name. Our little enemy, he sounds like he was creating a little havoc along the road. So don't worry, you're now with our Blessed Mother. You're with wonderful sisters. There's a fantastic priest down the hallway as well. So you guys are going to be just fine. So let's begin then. After Jesus ascended, his apostles and as well Mary and his disciples, they went to the upper room. So they went back to Jerusalem. They saw Jesus ascend into heaven. And then all of them, the apostles and Mary and his disciples, they went back to Jerusalem to the upper room. This is significant because the upper room was the place of the Last Supper. That is where they received First Holy Communion. The upper room was also the place where the apostles went and they locked themselves in the upper room on Easter. They went back there and they locked themselves in, and it's there that Jesus walks through the walls because he's Jesus and amazing, and he says, "Peace be with you," and he forgives them for abandoning him at the crucifixion. And not only that, he then breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven." And so gives the apostles the ability to forgive sins. So this upper room has kind of been the place of the priesthood for starters. It's the place where they received the ability to consecrate the Eucharist and as well forgive sins. That's the priesthood. Now, after the ascension, the apostles and Mary and the disciples are in the upper room again. This time they are praying. They're praying actually the first novena. And it is there that Matthias is going to be chosen to replace Judas. So there's going to be an ordination in this upper room. Don't worry, we're not going to ordain anybody this weekend. However, if you want to become a religious sister, however... And as well, it is in the upper room that they're going to receive the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So this upper room is quite significant. It is there that we hear in the first book of Acts of the Apostles that they, quote, devoted themselves to prayer. So it says they devoted themselves to prayer. So that's what they're doing in the upper room. In fact, I wish to take that kind of as our theme. The title of this weekend's talk is just simply Mary and the Holy Spirit. We could kind of put in parentheses, and the apostles devoted themselves to prayer. And not only the apostles, but the disciples as well. So here you are now on retreat, and if I may suggest that we are going now to the upper room. Okay, we're going to spend some time with our Blessed Mother, and as well the apostles and disciples, and we'll have Pentecost, the reception of the Holy Spirit, and it'll be a delightful, wonderful weekend. We just devote ourselves to the prayers in the upper room. In order to do this, however, we do have to be open to this, so you can put away all your distractions, okay? Like I said, if you had a rough time on the road, just take a deep breath. You're here, thanks be to God, all right? Like I said, there's probably a little bit of spiritual attack on the way. You're now in the protection of the fortress, which is the Religious Sisters Convent. That is the fortress, by the way. And just put your distractions aside. If you have any worries, just place them right up here at the altar and just leave them here. If you do have a cell phone, go ahead and turn it off unless you have somebody who's at home who needs our prayers. But put aside all of your distractions and just give our Lord your heart. You remember the story of the parable of the sower, right? A sower goes out and sows seed. Some of the seed falls on rocky soil. Some of it falls on thorns, some on the path, and then some falls on the fertile soil. I humbly suggest that we just take a quick moment and take a look at where we're at with regards to this, because each one of those kinds of soil is our heart. Rocky soil is the heart that's kind of struggling to believe. Maybe it's a little hardened. Maybe we've been a little cold in love. The thorny soil is that heart that's really kind of immersed in the world, like we're really worried about what we look like or who our friends are. We've been really distracted by the comforts and pleasures of life. The path is that soil which is very busy. It's trampled upon, so having a very busy life. That word busy is an acronym, B-U-S-Y, burdened under Satan's yoke. Okay, and there's a difference between having a busy life and a full life, right? You can have a full life and not be busy. You might be having a lot of activities, but if we're very busy, our Lord kind of wants to free us from being busy this weekend and have a full life. Then there's the fertile soil, the soil which says, okay, I'm tired of being rocky and thorny and being the trampled path. I just want to receive the sower's seed. I just want to receive grace. So I hope that's how your heart is then. So again, put aside any distractions. I tell people to land the plane. You can't land a plane going 600 miles an hour, so you have to slow down and enjoy, okay? Good. So that being said, I want to start off then this retreat for us to consider a question. Do I have a relationship with Mary? Very straightforward question, very simple question. Do I have a relationship with Mary? Now, relationships involve people, persons, flesh and blood, not ideas. You can't have a relationship with an idea. I tried, it doesn't work. It has to be a person. Relationship involves a person. So do you have a relationship with Mary? Is Mary a person, or is she just simply an idea? All right, so personal story then. I was a seminarian, which is the natural and logical step before becoming a priest. And yes, I have that kind of sense of humor. And so I was on a retreat at a place called Our Lady of the Snows. Our Lady of the Snows is in Belleville, Illinois, which is close to St. Louis, which is where I live. And I'd like to welcome a few of my parishioners from St. Joseph's in Cottleville. Kudos to you for driving the 8 or 10 or however many hours it took you to get here. It took me about 10 hours because of the thunderstorms. But in Belleville, there's this place called Our Lady of the Snows. And Our Lady of the Snows, it harkens back to a miracle of the snow way back in over in Rome, way back in the early church. Our Lady asked a couple Catholics to build a church, and they brought it to the Pope. The Pope didn't really believe her very much, and so she did a miracle of having it snow in the beginning part of August, I believe, in Rome, which in Rome is quite the miracle to have snow in the middle of the summer. So in Belleville, there's this wonderful shrine there commemorating this, because us in the Midwest, it's very difficult to get to Rome. Long story short, I'm on retreat, and I'm praying at the shrine, and it's the very beginning of January, and wouldn't you know it, it's snowing. About 5 or 6 inches of wonderful snow, and I decide I'm in my cassock, and I go for a walk, and I go down to this little grotto, which is a little replica of Our Lady of Lourdes grotto from France, and I kneel in my cassock in the snow. And it's about 9 o'clock at night, and you know how it's when it snows, the snow kind of reflects what little light there is up to the clouds, and the clouds reflect light, and so you can actually see very clearly even at 9 o'clock at night in the middle of winter. And so I'm praying, I'm kneeling, and I'm going through the beads of the rosary. Now, I'm a third-year theologian. This is the retreat before I become a deacon. And as I'm praying, I hear snowplows in the distance. And something wells up in my heart that starts to pray, Lord, please make sure that those men who are in the snowplows, that they arrive home safely tonight. And immediately as I say that, something else enters into my heart, which is, will you suffer for them? At which point I kind of think about this question, because I'm a little startled by it. You know, suffer for them? Lord, what do you mean by suffer for them? Suffering comes in so many different forms, right? Are we talking cancer, or are we talking a little sniffle? All right, what are we talking about here, okay? And so eventually I say, okay, fine, yes, I'll suffer for them. I finish up my rosary, and I continue on my way. And again, something wells up in my heart, which is, there's a lot of cars on the road out here in Belleville. I can hear them on the highway. Lord, will you please help them make it home safely? Now, let me preface all of this by saying, when I started the rosary, I asked our Blessed Mother to help me to know her. In fact, I even said this question. I said, Mary, what are you like? Mary, what are you like? So that's what I asked her when I was doing this rosary. So again, these questions come up. You know, Lord, will you help these men who are plowing the roads? Lord, will you help these people who are driving come home safely? And again, our Lord asked me, are you willing to suffer for them? I said, well, Lord, there's a lot more cars than snow plows out there, so I imagine this is going to be more suffering, right? And so eventually I hemmed and hawed, and I said, okay, fine, yes, fine, I'll suffer for them. I keep on walking, and I pass the chapel, and it's really snowing wonderfully, and I realize this is a pretty good snowstorm. This is probably not just localized in Belleville. This is probably through most of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. I said, Lord, there's probably a lot of people here. Just can you take care of them? And he responded saying, well, Anthony, are you willing to suffer for them? In fact, are you willing to suffer for as many people as I put into your life to suffer for? Which meant, well, Lord, I already said yes to a little bit of suffering here for the salt trucks and for the people of Belleville. I imagine this is going to entail a lot more, but yes, Lord, you know, I love you. I'll suffer for as much as you wish. It was in that moment that I realized a few things. One, I had asked Mary what she was like, and she didn't point to herself. She immediately pointed to her son, Jesus, who suffers for us, and as well his conversation with Peter, which we actually wonderfully heard in tonight's gospel. And I didn't plan that talk for this gospel that we heard tonight. I actually planned my talk for Our Lady of Fatima gospel, which is a totally different gospel. So the fact that our Lord's like, Peter, here it is, you know, do you love me 3 times is a wonderful Holy Spirit moment. So Mary was revealing this conversation of Jesus with Peter. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, suffer for the sheep, and so on. So Mary then, her very heart, if we want to know her, she's going to point totally to Jesus because her entire heart is totally in love with him. In fact, this is who she is, someone who is totally in love with Jesus. And as well, then, by extension, her priests, who are in a particular way his image and act in his person. Mary also then revealed who she is by answering my questions with regards to my vocation. Because at this point in my seminary life, I had some questions. I said, you know, Lord, you need to help me out here because this is make or break time for me. I'm about to be ordained a deacon. You need to really help me out. Just give me as big of a yes as you can give. And I realized that he did through our Blessed Mother, which revealed more about the Blessed Mother, namely that she loves me. I think you'll find as well, as we continue to converse with her and encounter her, you'll find that she loves you as well. And as well, she's concerned about your vocation too. So a good question to ask her is, Mary, what are you like? She'll answer it, and she'll probably point you to Jesus or to Peter, or maybe to one of our religious sisters, or maybe to your mom. Another thing we can talk about Mary then is she really is a lady of miracles. Our Lady of the Snows in Rome, Fatima, there's the miracle of the sun, among others. We'll talk a little bit more about Fatima tomorrow and the miracle of the sun. You might know Our Lady of Lourdes, where there are the healing waters. I actually had the privilege of living in Rome and being able to travel to Lourdes, and I brought home a big, almost gallon of water. Very difficult to take that through security. I put it in my checked luggage, and for 10 years I had it. And you would think after 10 years that I'd get a little cloudy, maybe a little algae in there or some, you know, whatever gross. Clear as clear could be for 10 years. So it was wonderful. Our Lady of Guadalupe also is miraculous. That is the only apparition that you can actually see. You can still see the apparition because it's emblazoned on the tilma, which is nearly 500 years old. Which is miraculous in and of itself. From Scripture, you saw Mary and the miracle of the water turned into wine at Cana. She instigates that. We'll talk more about that. And as well, lest we forget, she conceives of our Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit while remaining a virgin. Oh, and also she visits Elizabeth. And when she visits Elizabeth, just the sound of her voice pours forth the Holy Spirit upon Elizabeth and upon St. John the Baptist, who's in the womb, and he leaps for joy, which also shows us that life really does begin at conception, right? That St. John the Baptist is St. John the Baptist and being sanctified even before he's born. I then venture to tell you then that Mary is a mother of miracles, and I think she has miracles ready for your life and for your vocation. The question might be asked then, but why? Why Mary? So a little apologetics for us. Why Mary? Well, briefly, God our Father knew that we would need a mother. Because God is a family. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But male and female, he created us. And so he, in his plan of love for us, deigned that we would have a mother. Now, notice, God gave us a mother by himself, taking on a mother. So Mary is the mother of God. Now, God could have become flesh. He could have become one of us in whatever way he wanted. He's done it before with like Adam and Eve, right? Adam's pulled from the mud, poor guy. All right. Eve is made out of Adam's rib. I don't know which word is worse, the mud or the rib. That's both wonderful. So God, exactly. Thank you, sister. God could have become flesh in whatever way he wanted. He could have snapped his fingers and whammo, there he is. Okay. But instead, he decides to be born of a mother. So this is the first thing we can say. Why Mary? Because, well, God himself wanted one. God wanted a mother, which is really delightful. As well, he also knows that we are our family. We have mothers and fathers. And as well, not only does he want to enter into that family, but he wants to sanctify it. He wants to sanctify fathers and mothers. And one of the ways that he does this is by giving his son to Mary. Mary, who then is going to come to great knowledge of her son. That's the way it works with mothers, isn't it? Mothers, you know your children so very well, don't you? You probably know them a little bit better than they know themselves. Daughters, you'll figure this out when you become a mom, okay, or when you get older. Your moms, they know. They know. Mm-hmm. You think you're being sneaky? Uh-uh, they know, okay? So if you want to get to know Father Gerber, yeah, you can talk with me, and you can get to know me that way, and that's very good. But you know who has the real scoop on Father Gerber? That's right, Mrs. Father Gerber. Wait, no. That sounds a little odd. My mom, of course. So, so moms know their sons, and so Jesus also then wants us to get to know him through the eyes and the heart of his mother. So then Jesus comes through Mary, and even with his dying breath, this is how important his mother is to him and how important he wants us to have her as our mother. With his dying breath, he gives Mary to us, saying, "Behold your mother." Not "behold my mother." Jesus doesn't point to himself saying, "Behold my mother." He says, "Behold your mother." He wants you to have Mary as your mother. And this is very good news, because maybe, I'm sure all the mothers here are wonderful, but sometimes mom doesn't live up to being as good as we want mom to be. That happens to all of us. Or maybe moms, maybe you didn't know your mom very well, or maybe there wasn't a great relationship there. Well, Mary is our mother, and she's the perfect mother, and she wants a relationship with you too, and Jesus wants you to have that relationship. What's wonderful is that Pope John Paul II, now Saint John Paul II, and how wonderful it is to say Saint John Paul II, he says that Mary goes before us as the morning star. She who is the model of the church walks a path to heaven, which we now walk. So when we talk about holiness, it's easy to say, okay, well, Jesus is holy, and he's wonderful and amazing, and of course he's going to be holy because he's God. But it's another thing to say a human has walked the path of holiness as well. The best human, yes, full of grace, but a human nonetheless. And so she has walked this path, which all of humanity then can follow. And since she is the mother of us all, we have a good mother, because mothers take their children by the hand, right, and says, "Come with me," or "Let me show you something wonderful. Come follow me." And that's what Mary does. She takes us by her hand, and she's going to lead us to heaven, so long as we just hold her hand. So do you hold Mary's hand in your daily life? She wants to lead you to heaven. How are we doing? We're doing good. If you start to fall asleep, it's okay. I know it's been a long day. You can now start to dream of Mary. It's a good thing. Come to me and rest, our Lord says. One of the first things that we hear about Mary is actually from the angel Gabriel. He says, "Hail, full of grace." He actually doesn't say, "Hail Mary, full of grace," which is actually how our Hail Mary begins, but he actually just simply says, "Hail, full of grace." This is what he's trying to do. Gabriel is trying to reveal to us Mary's name. Her deepest identity is that she is full of grace. What does this mean? It means that God has chosen her, loved her in such a profound way that he has prepared her to receive his son. So God has chosen Mary and loves her, such that Mary responds by saying, "How can this be? Which really, I mean, all of us to some degree, when we realize that God loves us and that he has chosen us for our wonderful things, including to receive his love, we all of us ask, how can this be? Ask any of the sisters here to tell you about their vocation, and there's probably a moment in their vocation story where they sit back and wonder, how can this be? For me, I had the same experience as well when I was ordained a deacon, and I realized I could bless things. That's quite the moment. My dad had passed away a couple of years prior, and I was going to go and bless his grave, which it didn't compute that I was going to go and bless the grave. It didn't really compute until I looked around my seminary room to get a bottle of holy water. I grabbed the bottle and realized that the bottle was empty. It's like, oh, where am I going to go get holy water now? So I filled up the bottle with water, and I was like, I can do that. I can do this. And it was, how can this be? Like, who am I to be able to do this? Now, Mary asked the same question. How can this be? This is not a question of doubt. It's a question to understand. Now, that's a very, very important distinction, because there's a difference between having a difficulty of faith and having a doubt of faith. A difficulty says, I don't understand. I mean, okay, God, you're powerful. You can do this, but I don't understand how this works. Help me to see. Okay, that's faith seeking understanding. That's a good thing. Doubt says, I don't see how this can be, and you're going to have to prove it, because I don't believe this. Which is exactly what Zechariah does. He doesn't believe, which is why the Lord renders him mute. And Zechariah is actually then going to have to go through a miracle conversion. Okay, so it's good to ask, how can this be if we're seeking to understand? Gabriel reveals how it's going to be done. Gabriel says, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So there's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to do this. For nothing is impossible with God. In fact, this is Gabriel prefaces that by saying, be not afraid. Be not afraid. I think sometimes that's what we all go through when we realize that we're called to receive God's love, are called to vocation, whatever it is. Sometimes we're afraid. In fact, that's what often God says. He says, be not afraid. He's constantly saying that because he wants us to know that he's with us and he's going to give us the grace of the Holy Spirit. So Mary receives the Holy Spirit in this moment, hence the talk, Mary and the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to mention briefly about fear then. All of us struggle with this. We're human. We have that woundedness called concupiscence in us that sometimes fails to trust God or fails to see how he's going to bring this all about. We have fears about the world, right? About things that are going on in the world. Mothers, I'm sure you probably have some fears about your children and about the future, right? Some of us, I'm sure some of the daughters, maybe some of the mothers too, might have a fear about what following Jesus might cost us, right? Like if some of you are called to be religious, you might be like, yeah, gosh, that's going to cost so much, you know, Lord. I mean, I'm never going to be able to do X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. You know, Lord, I'm afraid of how much is this going to cost? We all of us have these fears. Even Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid themselves. Why? Because they were afraid. The apostles denied Christ at the crucifixion. Why? Because they were afraid of being put up on the cross with our Lord. Peter on the water, when he's even walking on water, I mean, he's experiencing the great miracle of being buoyed up by God's love. And he sees the storm and he's like, can I go back to the boat? This is a little too much, Lord. I don't think I can do this. And he starts to sink. In fact, it's him sinking. It's a very beautiful scene. Like, he doesn't just like slowly start to go like, okay, I'm sinking now. I'm sinking. Help, help. How about now? And it's literally like he goes down such that like all that is left of him is like his head. In my case, it'd just be my nose. That's all that'd be above water. And he has his hand on that. All he has is like his hand up. And Jesus has to plunge in to the water to pull up Peter's hand. So Peter started to sink because he was afraid. in the story of our own life, right? We start to sink when we start to take our eyes off the Lord and we become afraid. Jesus then reveals through Gabriel to Mary, be not afraid, be not afraid. In fact, Jesus tells us this today, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You're here with the sisters. You're in the fortress of the monastery. Don't let your hearts be troubled. It's going to be a great weekend. Do not worry about your life, what you will wear, what we are to eat. Don't worry. He then says, are you not worth more than the lilies of the field or the birds of the air? Are you not worth more? Because, you see, not only does he give you a mother, you are also his daughter. And he loves you. He's going to take care of you. Mary, as Our Lady of Guadalupe, goes to Juan Diego. And Juan Diego is very upset at this point in the apparitions. He's upset because his uncle is very ill. He has a sickness. And Mary appears to him, to Juan Diego, and says, do not let your heart be anxious or troubled. Do not despair or dismay. Am I not your mother? Are you not in the folds of my arm? Are you not in the folds of my tilma and my mantle? Am I not here who am your mother? What more do you want? Our Lady of Fatima promises, says, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. My Immaculate Heart will triumph. So be not afraid. I hope this then leads to the next point, which is you're loved. And it might sound a very basic, kindergarten-esque statement, but as we start off any retreat, we need to know this. You are loved. God could say to you, I loved you into being. You're not an accident. Right? You weren't just by chance. He willed you into being, and his will is love. He loves you into being. And he wants to show his love to you each and every day. He wants to woo you. There's a wonderful word, isn't it? Especially when you put you next to it. Woo you. You're going to say that tonight. Sometime in the mirror, just say it. Woo you. Just... Some of you are like, oh, this is going to be a long retreat, Father Gerber. René Descartes, the philosopher, if you like philosophy, he said, I think, therefore I am. He needs revision. It is rather, I am loved, therefore I am. I am loved, therefore I am. So God really, he's more concerned about life, about your life than you are, really. He really is. And sometimes we just have to let God be God, which is what Mary does, right? Let it be done to me according to your will. I trust you, Lord. Have your way with me. I believe that you love me, Lord. Well, I have no reason to doubt. God is more concerned about your life than you are. In fact, he's more merciful to you than you are. How about that? Take that out for a spin. He is more merciful to you than you are. This then leads us to a question. This one you can definitely write down. How deeply am I aware of God's love for me? How deeply aware am I of his love for me? His desire to love me, his desire to teach me, his desire to speak with me and to even listen to me, to heal me. How deeply am I aware of this love? Because this is actually the beginning of prayer, and Mary is a woman of prayer, isn't she? This is the beginning of prayer, to become aware of God's love. And this really is what's happening in the upper room. The apostles really become aware of God's love, such that when they emerge from the upper room, they're on fire. They are not afraid at all. Peter, the one who sunk in the water, Peter who put his foot in his mouth all the time, who he said, yeah, Jesus, you are the Lord. And then Jesus tells him about the crucifixion. And Peter's like, no, Lord, you're not going to be crucified. Remember that whole thing? Yeah. Now Peter is going to stand up before 4,000 people at Pentecost and tell them about how awesome Jesus is. He's unafraid. There's a transformation there. In fact, all the apostles, except for John, the beloved, all of them are going to be so zealous and on fire and so full of love and so unafraid that they're all going to even go to their death for love of the Lord. So this is all happening in the upper room. God is thirsting for us. He's longing for us to receive his love, which is the Holy Spirit, and to be set on fire. That's a good thing, to be set on fire in this case. Okay? It's a good thing to be set on fire with the Holy Spirit. So prayer then, we can even define prayer really basically. Prayer is becoming aware of and responding to God's presence in our life. That word presence sounds like presence, doesn't it? English. Yeah, hashtag English. Presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence. And also presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. His presence and his presence, English. He wants us to be aware that he is with us. And he also wants us to be aware of what he's giving us. He's giving us gifts. Remember, the Holy Spirit comes with gifts, right? Okay, he wants us to be aware of both. Prayer, then, is going to be entering into this, and it's going to really be a conversation with him, heart speaking to heart. I hope that's what happens this weekend for you, that you just have your heart open to God and just speak and listen. Let him speak to you. It might be something that wells up in you, and you might, who knows what it will be. Okay. St. Francis de Sales says, whenever you start prayer, just simply say, let us remember that we're in the presence of God. Let us just remember that we are in the presence of God. It's a very good way to start prayer. In fact, any time that you become aware to say it, because it's our Lord is with us every moment of the day. St. John Vianney, when seeing one of the farmers of his parish, a farmer who would spend long hours in prayer, St. John Vianney asked the farmer, saying, my good sir, what do you do? What do you say to our Lord when you're with him there in the church in the tabernacle? And the farmer very simply replied, saying, well, I look at him, and he looks at me. You've probably heard that before. It's a wonderful story. I look at him, he looks at me. I think of my parish back in St. Louis, St. Joseph in Cottleville, which I call Catholic Happy Land. We have like 1,000 kids there in the school. We have 8 seminarians. You know, so many women are pregnant. It's Catholic Happy Land. We have a family holy hour once a month on Wednesdays for all the families of the school. And we invite the children to come to the foot of the sanctuary. And there was a little child who, during adoration, we had adoration, and the little child began blowing kisses to our Lord. Isn't it marvelous? When was the last time that you blew a kiss to Jesus? I never had. Isn't that wonderful? That's prayer. That's just the love of the heart. Blow a kiss to our Lord. Tell him that you love him. Now, for myself, in full disclosure, I went through 12 years of Catholic grade school and high school and didn't do very well in college in my faith, such that towards my senior year, I had actually forgotten how to pray. I went back then to my high school, which was a Jesuit high school, and I asked one of the Jesuit priests, literally, Father, teach me how to pray. Mary. He would direct me to Mary. Mary teaches us. It says, she pondered all these things in her heart. What a wonderful way to pray. Just pondering on what our Lord is doing in your life right now. What is he doing in your life right now? Would you like to know? Right now, he's beholding you. He's looking at you with love. It's a good thing, a good way to pray. Behold God beholding you. Become aware of God being aware of you. That's a very good way to pray. And can you imagine just living in such a way that you would know God saying, I love you, Anthony. That's what he says to me. I love you, Anthony. That's my name. What is your name? Imagine God saying, I love you. Can we speak to him? Yes, we should. Go ahead and tell the Lord what's on your heart. He wants to know. But then we also have to do what the prophet says. The prophet says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Right? It's not the other way around. "Listen, Lord, your servant's speaking." That's how we often do it, right? "Listen, Lord, I've got something to say. Here's my list, okay? Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. And it's done. Good talking with you. I'll see you later. We'll do this tomorrow, okay?" "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And that's a good thing, because we need to hear him say, "I love you." Sometimes we're too busy. We're that path, right, that doesn't allow ourselves to be loved. Mary, our mother, comes to us, says, let him love you. Sometimes we're maybe a little afraid to go to our father, kind of like dad, right? Dad's coming home. We did something wrong. We're a little afraid of the punishment that we're going to get from dad, right? And so Mary, our mother, first she asks for mercy for us, for our Heavenly Father, and she gets what she wants because she's mom. But then also she holds us in her arms. And she lets us weep. She lets us say what's on our mind. She just says, "Let him love you." Sometimes we don't know what to say when we pray, and that's okay too. Offer that to our Lord. Say, "Lord, I don't know what to say." It's okay. Sometimes we're at a loss for words. Sometimes, as we heard in the scriptures, there's that groan of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays in words that are almost, in a sense, inaudible. We don't even know the words. We just, to our Lord. "Lord, you have my heart." Part of our Blessed Mother, then, she received the Lord in the Eucharist, right? That's a wonderful meditation to think about, that she would have received Jesus from the hands of the apostles. When I was ordained a priest, I had a little holy card made, and the card, the picture was of St. John the Apostle, the beloved Apostle, giving Mary the Eucharist, which is marvelous. We have to receive our Lord and become aware that Jesus is there in the Eucharist. And when he is there, he is aware of you. We're going to have our Lord here present on the altar. He's going to be looking at you and loving you with those beautiful eyes, that wonderful face. And his heart's going to be speaking to you. Or maybe he's just going to be looking. Sometimes he doesn't speak. Sometimes he just wants to love you. That's what lovers do. Sometimes it's just good enough to be, right? So it's good to become aware of him being aware of you, and that you matter to him, and that you matter to Mary. We must be aware, too, that every time we're in front of the Eucharist, it's really Mary who has brought us there to her son. She's pulling us by the hand saying, "Come, let me show you how to get to heaven. Let me show you my son. He's wonderful and amazing." That's how my mom is with me. If you are a mom of a priest, you know this, that mothers of priests just dote on their sons. "My son's a priest." "Mother, stop it." So Mary's like, "My son's the savior of the world. Come on, let me show you to him." But it's true, she loves her son. She's proud of him in a motherly sort of pride. Her heart is overflowing. "Come here, let me show you my son. He's wonderful. You're going to love him." Okay? So every time that you're in front of the Eucharist, that's not a chance occurrence. It is our Mother Mary who's brought us there. There is no such thing as a chance meeting with Mary and our Lord. There's never a chance meeting. It's always, always on purpose. God sets up divine appointments. All right, and he is with you. So, yes, the question may be begged, why am I here? You might be asking that. Why am I here this weekend? Maybe your mom forced you, or maybe you forced your mom. That's cool, too. You know, why am I here? Well, no matter what your answer is, God has an answer. That is, he wants you here, and he loves you. He wants you here because he loves you, and he has something to reveal to you. And it might just be his mother. Maybe later it'll be the Holy Spirit. But I think you're going to love it. So God has you here because he has chosen you. And that's very important. That's, again, not an accident. Because when you think about it, of all the people in the world, and there's many billions of people in the world, how many are both able to go on a retreat and desire to go on a retreat and have a wonderful community like this to be able to go to retreat? So that's not an accident. These come from God and they come from Mary. What's our response to this? Well, maybe we pray that prayer of thanksgiving and praise that Mary does. She says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant." That's what we are. We're just lowly servants, right? Who am I to receive the Lord? Or we can be like Elizabeth. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Who am I? I'm just a lowly servant, and yet the Lord has looked with favor upon us because he loves us. So my spirit rejoices. How else do we respond to this love? Fiat, let it be done to me, and that openness of heart. My heart is yours, Lord. It's totally yours. Totus tuus. That was the theme of the motto of John Paul II's pontificate, his papacy. Totus tuus, totally yours. And finally, our last response. So our response is praise and thanksgiving and openness. The last one is get some rest. Rest. Our Lord says, "Come to me, all you who are labored and burdened and who have driven through Nashville, and I will give you rest." You know who you are, and you know what I'm talking about. Highway 24? Yeah. "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." The retreat, then, is a time for rest, and also, as Mary, to ponder all these things in your heart. Indeed, even when you're sleeping tonight, this is the wonderful thing, even when you're sleeping, our Lord is going to be doing some things to you. It's going to be wonderful. Our Lord plants seeds, and he makes things grow even when we're sleeping. In this way, Christianity and Catholicism, they're more like a farmer than a carpenter. And yes, our Lord was a carpenter, but very much like a farmer. Because, you see, in a carpenter's life, you put in what you get. What you put in is what you get out. Let me do that again. In a carpenter's life, what you put in is what you get out. But in a farmer's life, something happens overnight. Something beyond our control. The seeds grow even without the farmers knowing it. So go ahead and fall asleep in Mary's arms and in our Father's arms. There is really nothing better in life than that, both for you and for them. Fathers and mothers love it when their little children fall asleep in their arms, right, Mom? Right? Yeah, there's nothing better. So our Blessed Mother loves that. Our Heavenly Father loves when you fall asleep in their arms. And so there's nothing better for us to just rest in the arms of our Blessed Mother and as well of our Heavenly Father. So get some rest as well. That's a good thing. All right, then. Let's wrap this up. We'll finish with a few questions then for reflection. Okay? First, the two scriptures, they devoted themselves to prayer. And Mary pondered all these things in her heart. So questions then. How often am I aware of God's love for me, that he chooses me? How often am I aware of God's love, of his presence? Presence and presence. What distractions and worries do I have that keep me closed to him? That don't let me receive. I kind of shy away from being held. What distractions or worries or busyness do I have that I just need to give over to him now and trust him with and be not afraid? How often or at all do I allow Mary to teach me how to pray? So do I allow Mary to teach me? Do I go to her? Do I treat her as an idea or as a real person? When you pray the rosary, are you saying this to a person? Or is it just an idea? And then mothers, how well do you image Mary's calming, peaceful, motherly love? And daughters, how would your relationship with mom be different if you loved her as another Mary? How would your relationship with your mom be different if you loved her as another Mary? Let us then dedicate the rest of this time to the care of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.